noticed that Dick Callen is at our meeting today, and we've asked Dick back to be the guest and also attend graduation today. Dick will be going off or has ended his term as a college council member, and we asked Dick to come back to show our appreciation to Dick for his many years of service to SUNY Canton. And doing that, on behalf of the college council and the SUNY Canton community is large, we'd like to present this small token of our appreciation for your service to SUNY Canton.
It's been a pleasure these past 14 years. It doesn't seem possible. This place is a wonderful place, both for students in the North Country, and I'm so pleased with the appointments that have followed me, and I just know that we're going to do well in the future. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And also, we have another college council member that will be, that is attending her last college council meeting today. And that would be Nafisa Johnson, our student representative.
I was looking around like, who is she?
And Nafisa, on behalf of the college council, we
thank you.
This small token of appreciation for the service you've given, not only to the college council, but also to the college in general, as your other activities as SGA president and so on.
Thanks.
Okay, and lots of success for the future.
Thank you. Pound
okay.
It.
All right. I don't know how to do that. The new incoming member will be Onella Parker, and Onella is not able to be with us today, apparently a little bit ill. She's from Brooklyn and originally was born in Jamaica, so she will be joining us at our next college council meeting. Also, we have a lot of people leaving today, I guess. I'd like to thank Dr. Schiffner for filling in as interim president after Dr. Kennedy's departure, and we wish you much success in your future career endeavors in Washington, right? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The minutes of the last college council meeting were mailed to you. The chair will entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Cohen, second.
Second.
Second. Any additions or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. New business. Dr. Molly Mott, the Code of Conduct revisions.
These revisions, excuse me, reflect the clarifications and the best advice that we get from SUNY Legal. There's additions to the language. We're getting a lot of language given to all campuses that is coming through the Office of Civil Rights through SUNY Legal. So I think we're going to see more and more specific language that all the campuses have to adhere to, and that's reflected in this as well. We always try to review, improve our process, and we had these revisions reviewed by the Student Code of Conduct Review Committee, and also Penny Plowman from SUNY Legal goes to them with a fine tooth comb. So hopefully they'll continue to improve what we do for our students.
Are there any, well, just briefly let me say that I want to thank Molly. I had a couple of individuals that questioned some of the changes, mm-hmm. and they were not college council members. But Molly helped me clarify a couple areas, and to their satisfaction. I guess the big one was that word, which one is it?
Retaliation.
Yes, that's a good word. Thank you.
Yeah, the outgrowth of the Title IX mandate, which right. is coming through OCR, which is coming through SUNY Legal. So that is the language they give to the campuses.
Right. But thank you for helping me out of that. Is there a motion to approve the changes in the student handbook?
So moved.
Joe, second? Is there a second? Nafisa? Okay. Any questions about our discussion?
When will this be presented? Not presented, so to say, but
will students be notified that there's a change in their
code of conduct? It'll get printed and distributed the fall semester.
Okay. And
we print copies now. Initially, the last couple of years, we did it strictly online to save paper, but we really found from feedback from the student opinion survey that SUNY puts out, students weren't reading it. Of course, that's not the first thing they go to when they come on campus. And because of that, they really weren't aware of policy changes. So we went back to both online and print, and although the print costs like $5,000, it's definitely worth it because then each student gets it and has it, and we can emphasize those changes.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. We have a list of advisory board appointments. Carly, do you have any?
It's pretty straightforward. No comments at this time.
Chair will entertain a motion to approve the advisory committee appointments.
So
moved. Colleen, second?
Second.
Roger? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. Is there any old business to come before the board today? We're trying to make it a relatively brief meeting, but if you have anything, okay, no concerns there. I don't have very much for chairman's report. I will report to you that I met with Dr. Hoffman last Monday morning, the very first, early in the morning. He likes to get up early, and so do I. But anyway, so I met with him about almost an hour, as it turns out. Very pleasant meeting, and he addressed, I think, a lot of the concerns that the college council would have. I covered areas, for example, what he interpreted as the role of the college council in relation to the president or acting president or interim president. I asked him what SUNY board or the chancellor had instructed him to do here, and he said simply was to get the college ready for the next president, and no more than that. I asked him specifically if there was anything else that he was advised they would like to see accomplished here, and he said no. There was that simple charge. And as I understand, Dr. Hefner and Potsdam was told the same thing. So, and I think the two of those gentlemen will get along very well. I spoke with Bob Crashour yesterday again, and he reported that Dr. Hoffman was very satisfied with his visit to SUNY Canton. He thought the reception was very warm, particularly the reception he had at the, was it Wednesday night or Tuesday night?
Tuesday
night. But he was very pleased, and his wife was very happy. I did tell him, of course, he always knew that he was about as far away from the city as you could get coming to Canton. But anyway, Bob Crashour apparently was the provost at Maritime College, so that's the relationship there. And the other thing, you have received notice from Michaela that to possibility of dates in June, a meeting with Bob Crashour, the college council members. And I'm anticipating that it would be hopefully the charge for us to proceed with our search. Again, I don't know that, but that was what he would like to meet with the college council about, and he would like as many members of the college council to attend if possible. If those dates do not work out, he will simply return to the campus later. But hopefully he's going to be here for some other business at that time, and that's why he asked to meet with the college in early June, the college council, rather.
So June. We really don't know the exact date yet, though, right?
No, we don't.
I'm polling everybody, so.
But like I said, if it's a problem, don't worry about it. He said he will come up later. So I just like to really not delay anything, if you know what I mean. And the other thing, too, keep in mind that next Friday, May 24th, is Employee Recognition Day, and that's really a nice event, and I think the faculty and staff and employees of SUNY Canton really enjoy it. And I would appreciate it as a college council member if you could attend. It does show our appreciation for the work, all the good work and hard work that the employees here at SUNY Canton do for us every day of the year. All right, Dr. Schiffner.
Thank you.
For your last report.
Okay, and I know this is going to be hard for some of you to swallow, but I'll be brief. And then I will turn it over to area updates. I just wanted to provide an update from our Middle States visit. Our Middle States visit was at the end of March. We, on the last day of our visit, the evaluation team shared with the campus that we were found to be in compliance with all of the standards. And so that was wonderful news. We do have a to-do list of areas that they recommended that we work on. So we still have, you know, our work cut out for us, and we are starting to actually see, you know, a lot of people start planning right now for implementing that change. But we do not have an intermediary. Gosh, that was all that fruit juice I drank this morning getting to me. Maybe it was the pitcher of gin underneath the table. we don't have an intermittent report between now and 5 years, so which is unusual. Usually there's some sort of monitoring report, but we do not have a monitoring report. We have just the regular PRR that's in 5 years, so we should be very proud of the work that we've done as a college to get us there. So what was that, Maha? Yeah, and we had a lot of commendations too. A lot of shout outs for a good work to the library with Grass River Suites. So a very positive, things to hang our hat on. So we should be very proud coming out of that. So with that, I will turn it over to Karen.
We still have faculty searches going on. We've had some successful searches. The big one, our new applied site program. We have hired two new faculty in that. We've had some failed searches in the faculty lines. They weren't finding who they wanted. We had two dean search going on. One search, they decided not to hire out of that pool, so Mike Newtown has agreed to continue on as the interim dean of Canino School of Engineering. The School of Business and Liberal Arts, that so we haven't made the announcement yet, and I think this group is pretty safe. J.D. DeLong, the faculty member in our legal studies program that chaired our Middle States self-study, he applied for the dean position, and the committee made the recommendation that we offer it to him, and he has accepted. Mm-hmm. So starting mid-July, he will be stepping in as dean of that school. We still have a search going on for the director of admissions. Word is we have some very viable candidates in the pool, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And wrapping up into the year, we still have concerns with admissions numbers. They're not as high as we'd like them to be. They're lower.
Can we define
reason?
Lower?
By
comparison,
About 2 years ago, they're equal about 2 years ago, I think that was what Mike was saying. Mm-hmm. Mike Perry's now our interim director. Some things have changed. I mean, we did some little things, some things differently this year. One thing was we were not bending admission requirements.
Right.
We were holding to what they needed. SUNY is coming down the pipe, but we are going to have to answer to graduation rates, retention rates, and if we're not an open access institution, we need to be aware that they're going to hold us accountable to those metrics.
Yeah.
So we've held tighter to some of the admission criteria that programs have established. I don't think, you know, the craziness that went on the past couple of years, I would imagine that didn't help anything. We also had some in New York City when they were down recruiting. Their scheduled time in New York City was Hurricane Sandy time. So we had counselors return early. New York City area counselor quit about the time we really could have.
Oh,
yeah. So they, you know, Mike Perry stepped there, tried to gear up that, sent teams down, but they were later than the usual cycle. They are concentrating right now on any of the accepted apps and trying to increase the yield from those accepted apps rather than just get more and more apps. But they're...
I've noticed some of the marketing has been done. And how's that going, the market? I've seen the television pieces once in a while. And is there a decline in that? I haven't seen quite as much.
Yeah, Brian handles that more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, what we actually did is shifted some dollars out of TV advertising. We're still running the commercials, but we did do some targeted internet advertising. So Time Warner Cable, Watertown Daily Times, and North Country Now. So we are trying just to see if that might at least try to attract some, you know, at least traffic to the website. And we also are targeting, we actually did run an ad in New York City too. So we wanted to advertise our open houses, and then we're going to kind of switch gears in June and start advertising, or actually maybe now, for our summer term sessions.
We had some pretty good success in some of the larger concerts we've done that are $1 million plus concerts. And we've done Time Warner Cable, and they have a great statewide program, and I would think they'd give you a pretty good deal as well.
We're running them right now in the Syracuse through North Country market, and also in New York City. So that's the two areas.
Have you tried Western New York too?
Not yet, because we had a limited budget, and we wanted to make sure that we targeted our core areas.
We're trying. We're hoping that the new director has those things. I don't know. Nafisa?
Yeah.
Karen? Oh, I'm sorry.
No? Great. Okay. I went down to New York City to help with a recruitment event for students that were already admitted to come and speak with the counselors and be able to get all the questions for financial aid and things like that. And the one thing that I noticed that gets the student to say, this is where I want to go, this is where I'm going to go, is the ease of the parent. So what we came in contact with was students that didn't come with a parent. The only way that they were able to make a decision or be able to know that college was for them was by talking to a student, which was me. And then after they talked to me, they're like, okay, well, I'm kind of scared about financial aid. And they got to talk to the counselor, and once they got squared away with the counselor, they're like, okay, see you in the fall. And the students that came with parents were like, no, I'm not going to college. And as soon as their parent was at ease with having all the answers to their questions and knowing that even though it's 6 hours away, their kid will be safe, the student was like, okay, see you in the fall. So I think with New York City, it's like a strategy that I think the institution should take towards getting those students. I don't think it's necessarily the advertisement. It's more so the comfort, because when moving from one place to another 6 hours, that's the only issue that they have. Is the 6 hours. It's not the issue of the price. It's not the issue of where they're going to live. It's the distance. And even when we do phone calls, I help a lot with phone calls and just calling them and seeing if, you know, they have their deposit, if they did everything that they need to do. And the first thing the student asks is it really 6 hours away? And when I say, well, I'm from Brooklyn and this is what I did, they're like, oh, okay, well, what else do I have to do? So I think that's something that should be, like, looked at, too.
Nafisa, were you recruiting? Was it based on recruitment or did you make the decision?
It was both.
Okay.
So Bell came to our school, and he did the recruitment process, like, this is our school. And everyone at my school was like, okay, we want to go there. And then I wound up going to another college. And because of, like, how the recruitment process went for Canton compared to all the other schools, that was the school that kept in my, that stayed in my mind when I wanted to go to another school. So.
That's a good take.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah. And we're going down to New York City in July with admission staff, financial aid staff. I'm going down, a couple of deans are going down, summer advisors are going down to try to bring our services to those students so that when they come in the fall, they're not standing in line trying to get a schedule or straighten out the last minute financial aid or a registration issue. We're hoping we can clean a lot of it up. We're also bringing one of our tour guides who speaks Spanish down, because you know we're finding we may have students where the student is comfortable with the English language, the parents aren't, and that may be a way to relieve some of it.
Oh, that's great.
That's a good idea.
I think that's a bonus because a lot of students can't make it up here. Prep for the student day or open house or make it up here before they move in to get all those things squared away.
So and try not to let them change their minds in July.
Oh, I'm sure they won't.
And, you know, based on the fact that we had to cut it short because of Hurricane Sandy, obviously there were a lot of probably missed opportunities.
And they did go, admission staff did go down in teams later on. Mm-hmm. But again, it was later.
Yeah.
Also, there were places where they went there. Hurricane Sandy, I mean, Hurricane Sandy just devastated places. And those people thinking about college is. So we're working on it.
Karen, in advertising the faculty positions, and I've heard some concern about salaries, where you expect to hire a faculty member with a doctorate, and you're talking like $45,000, is that right, or $50,000 a year?
Didn't hire anybody on? No, anybody with a
doctorate? Who determines that or sets that?
The dean puts it on a form that's not, you know, they sign off on, and then they send it to through the, Harley, Natalie, and I sign off on it. But as far as I know, any of the salaries we offered to people with PhDs were, we had some 53, we did a 56, right now in psych positions. But
it's a pretty tough sell, isn't it?
Potsdam's? Yeah, when we look at our salaries compared to the other tech sectors in Potsdam, we're higher.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's determined at the local level, it's not a...
The contract between UUP and SUNY has a range for each academic rank. So if someone in each academic rank, there are defined qualifications in terms of how many years of teaching you have to have or how many years of professional service, what your academic credentials are. So it's sort of, okay, this person fits in this category, your range is this much, and you work with that. The other thing we face is we had a... Things were tight for a while in the past, and we hired people best we could, but if you've got faculty that have been here 7-8 years earning 60, how do you hire someone new at 67 and not create a lot of problems? And I don't have the $500,000 it would take, but...
Is that true across the state with the other SUNY campuses? I mean, basically the same, where you have faculty that have been there for a few years that aren't earning?
I don't know, Ron. I just
that's been like that for years, Ron.
Someone should take a look at that on the statewide level at SUNY Central. That's ridiculous. You know, we pay a CO, and I'm not putting a CO down, but you know, if they want to work a little overtime, they get $50,000-$60,000 a year, and we have somebody with a doctorate paying them 55 or 50.
In the liberal arts, that's about where they are. If they're in the business, you know, engineering field, they're up in the 60s.
Okay.
But if you're losing talent based on the fact that you have a tenured employee who is making 60, and you don't want to offend them. Is there not some way that we could justify the hiring of someone who brings something to the table that really shines? I guess I'm wondering how many times, and I don't know that it happens often, but I think that sometimes you find you've got a real diamond that's applied, but you can't meet the salary expectation, and so you lose that talent.
I'm not aware of anything this year, and this is my first year at this.
Mm-hmm.
We did have one candidate we made an offer to that turned us down because she went someplace else. But she was also looking for a job for her husband and wanted a dual. And
sure.
We don't have the money to just create a line.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an issue there.
I'm just thinking out loud.
A diamond, that this is someone... We've budgeted up to, you know, 60,000 for this line, but I got this rock star coming in. That I would have no qualms going to Natalie and Carly saying, look, I think we want to rethink our salary schedule for this one and make an advocate for let's let's do what we need to do to bring this person in for these reasons.
I think Karen also needs to get some credit for addressing some salary inequity as well. I mean, if there had been, you know, people have been, if there's a handful of grumblers this year, she has encouraged them to go through the peer review process, and just like we would do with any review. So we had a handful of those that we did give increases to.
Okay.
So, I mean, we have been trying to address it and close the gap in certain areas.
I'll be honest, there was some of the grumblers I looked at, and I go, I'm thinking to myself, you're lucky we're paying what you are.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's the case. I mean,
Molly, you know me. No, but I think it was good to have that process established. So
we'd like to continue that, because in the past there was no process to tell faculty if you believe you're underpaid, this is a process you can use. So we're trying to procedures.
And we're trying to make sure that it's not like you enter this part here to grumble, and then you go to the president's office and complain, and then something else happens, and it trickles down, and you have to give a raise. We want everybody in the loop in the conversation, from the dean to the department chair to the provost. So we're trying to get that cleaned up.
And UUP without a contract has hurt in the sense that the existing faculty haven't had a raise for a few years. Right, so they're sort of.
So there's nothing in place that when you hire a new faculty member that, first of all, are faculty members ever evaluated?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How often? Yearly? Every 3 years?
Faculty do a faculty information form, we call it, every year. They sit down with their dean and department chair and go through their performance for the year. They, you know, dean, department chairs look at their student evaluation. So that is done on a yearly basis. Faculty that are newly hired typically get a 2-year contract. It's quite common. So they would be evaluated the fall after their first complete year here, a whole formal review process where they create the portfolio, go through a peer review committee, reviewed by the department chair, the dean, myself, and then the president. So that would happen for incoming faculty, follow on every 2-year, every other year cycle. And then at the end of the 6th year is that the continuing appointment, a tenure decision. And that.
But any raises for any faculty position has to be negotiated with UUP? Is that the only way to get a raise?
Across the board raises?
Well, no, I mean.
But individual people? Yeah, no. We have the authority to raise the salary.
But do you have something in place? In place where a new faculty member will know that, you know, if I'm doing a good job and my evaluation is successful, this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to get an increase this year.
No, there's no like step raises or anything like that built in. It's
Karen. You still have the merit raises. Merit
when they're in the UUP contract. There's still
only when they're in the contract.
Yes. Well, that was part of the issue. Mm-hmm. The UUP has their negotiated increases. Dr. Kennedy started establishing when faculty were given continuing appointment or got a promotion, earned an advanced degree, he had kind of established a pattern of giving out 5% raises for any of those benchmarks met. Mm-hmm. And then the UUP discretionary raises that went for merit. This year, when I walked in the door, one of the first things I was confronted with was faculty telling me they were underpaid and wanted to know how to get a raise, and I'm thinking, I got to think about this. I got to come up with something quick because I can't just tell them no. I mean, I didn't want to just say no. I wanted to figure out how. So I thought, okay, we have a process for how faculty reviewed with a reappoint or want a promotion. So since that process is in place and it's the same criteria we would use for a base salary, why not use the same process? So that's what we sort of established this year, so we could say to everyone, submit your portfolio, go through the peer review entire process, and then we will look at it.
I would think if you had something more permanent in place, it would be a strong recruitment tool, you know, for an incoming faculty member, new, or ones that are already here that, well, I'm doing a good job, and I'm going to do an increase. I mean, something that when you're recruiting, my God, if you're hiring somebody $50,000 a year and they probably won't get a raise for 5 years, unless it's negotiated. I'd like to see something as an incoming. Oh, God, if I do pretty good here, you know, I'm going to get an increase.
That would be nice, but I can't control what student gives us for a budget.
Well, who does? Who would be responsible for doing that?
What student gives us for a budget?
Well, trying to set something in place where people will know doing a good job will get them an increase in salary. I mean, that's the way the world works.
But that's the
a good deal, a good part of it.
That's the promotion process for faculty. You earn, you know, you're hired at one rank, maybe the instructor rank. You earn your assistant professor rank, and then you get a raise. You earn your associate professor rank, and you earn your professor rank. Those come with raises.
You do bonuses. I mean, you can get...
That would be like the discretion.
That's discretionary?
Yeah, we were very big, but we did a lot of that as well, where we had set salary ranges. What we would do to say thank you is give bonuses.
I couldn't agree more with you, Ron, but the reality is there's a fixed sum for money for salaries that you have to work with. And so within that, you've got to find some methodology to try to keep it looking like there's a prospect of advancement. But I only have so much pie here, mm-hmm. you know.
And
I think that's the way it was when I was here. And
well, I think the first thing, though, that comes to mind, and Brian, you alluded to that, is that by comparison to Potsdam, for example, do we know how other universities throughout the SUNY system compare to SUNY Canton? And are we in the middle, below, or above the average? I think that's information that would be very critical to your role in the evaluation process and retaining employees. And then the other question, I guess it's kind of twofold here, but when you do the evaluations annually, are you finding that during that process with the individual, they're raising the concern of their salary?
No.
Is that a common? Okay, so that's interesting.
We pay better than the other tech colleges.
Okay, yeah.
We pay better than Potsdam. Mm-hmm. Do we pay like the university centers? Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Yeah. Our credentials are very different. Most of our faculty couldn't get a job at the university centers.
Well, that's comforting to know. I mean, I think that if we're concerned that we're losing individuals because of salaries, but by comparison, we're doing okay, then maybe it's not as big an issue as we might think.
Right.
The people that I've seen that have moved on the past 2 years specifically have been not so much salary related, but spouses haven't been able to find a job. Their children didn't care there's problems with the school system. They didn't ever feel like they were part of the community. I mean, those seem to be kind of the external environmental factors that add to it. I salary hasn't been my experience. I don't know if that's been your past 2 years.
No, I don't do policy because of salary. I think those issues explain it more. The dual income fitment, the family.
It's the spouse not having
a
job.
That's probably a number one quite often.
Those things we can't control.
I think one thing that really hasn't been emphasized enough, it's a unionized environment. This is the contract that they've agreed to. And there are built-in steps that they can take. And one of the only real mechanisms, I think, is discretionary or what Dr. Kennedy set in place based on their achieving certain other goals.
That's kind of what I'm talking about, and I don't think the union would object to that. But I think the greater concern is recruitment, but I'll just add that to the list of one of the many things that I do not understand about the bureaucracy.
Karen, just one last question. Since the institution has become, 4 years as well as two, hasn't that improved the overall salary level of everybody, really?
I think so.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I keep abreast of what's going on.
I think it has. It's also created complications.
Oh, sure. It's a two-edged sword, but at the same time, it has. Because when I was here in the way beyond, we weren't top in the ag and techs, and we are now. It's a big difference.
Thank you, Karen.
And Karen, just in case you hadn't heard, has agreed to stay on for another year as interim provost. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we get to have her talents at the seat at the table again. So thank you for agreeing to do that.
Yes, thank you. I didn't arrange it.
And does that mean you're eligible to vie for the job when it's permanent?
I have no interest in the job.
Oh.
I like my job as a faculty member. I'm quite content to go back there. I've tried to bribe Carly to stay. She could stay as provost, and Dr. Hoffman could be president. We'd all be happy, but that wasn't working, so...
And Natalie is not able to join us today. She's under the weather. So we can move on to Dave.
Real briefly, last meeting I reported about our budget and fundraising goals. Those were passed at our last foundation board meeting. We had a wonderful alumni gathering in Watertown, about 30 individuals, business friends, college council, alumni. Dr. Hoffman attended, Carly attended. And what was intriguing to me was Dr. Hoffman's presentation. He said, thank you. Because of you, I'm here. Because of your voice, because of your loudness, your persistence, your continuing to move along in the difficult time over the last couple of years, I am here as your president. And that was exciting. And so his wife and him worked the room, and I'm excited about the possibilities of fundraising with him. So, and we're getting ready for Alumni Weekend, July 19th through 21st, and have a bunch of affiliate groups coming back, and we're excited about that.
Great, thank you. Molly?
Okay, well, all the areas in student affairs, from counseling to residence life to student activities, have been very busy and successful this semester, and really want to congratulate them on that. Regarding athletics, we had 7 of our 14 teams go to postseason. That's exceptional. We hosted the regional Special Olympics. It was an absolutely wonderful event.
Oh,
loved it, and they really were responsive to. We had our student athletes be a part of it. And they were like team cheers with the Special Olympians, and that was very special.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We've asked to come back next year. So.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
We had 7 student athletes with a GPA of 3.35. We have 1 hockey senior in engineering with a 4.0, and we have a cross-country senior with an average of 3.9. So we're really excited about our student athletes and their academic excellence. They've had numerous chancellor and other prestigious awards. And we just completed our first year of our provisional status in the NCAA. We have 3 more to go before we can be considered for NCAA. So that's going well. I do want to give the College Council a courtesy, FYI. I'm going to be stepping away from this position and pursuing another position on campus. The Dean of Students is going to step up and be the point person for the Student Affairs Division, and I do want to emphasize that this was a quality of life issue for me. It was at my request, with much consideration to my family, especially my daughter, who's my wisest counselor, and I'm really happy about the decision. I think the Dean of Students will do an outstanding job. I think we have a whole layer of a generation of leaders that really needs to grow, and I'm really glad to give them that opportunity. I do want to say 2 things also, and this is what I learned from my 10-year student affairs. I was thinking about this morning when I was doing my hair. Being a student affairs professional is a humbling experience because these individuals work 24/7, 7 days a week. You have RDs that are up at 3 in the morning, throughout the weekend, throughout the week, handling student issues. You have the counseling center helping students at crisis at 4 in the morning. It never stops for these individuals. And I have profound admiration for the people in student affairs. Additionally, student affairs taught me a very important lesson. It's not about me, and it's not about my career. It's about the students. And I really think if we start all of our difficult conversations with a simple question, what is in the best interest of our students, we'll never go wrong with our answer. And I'm going to take that lesson with me in my next job, which is going to be working with Karen.
Good.
So.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your next position?
Yes, it's a position. It's the Dean of Academic Support Services and Instructional Technology. I did work in this area before. We're going to champion the SUNY Open, the Open SUNY Online Initiatives. on the Student Success Center retention efforts and continue to work very well with student affairs.
Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
Any questions for Molly? Crickets. Ryan?
Just to, I guess, ride on your coattails as well. I also want to announce that my last day here at SUNY Canton will be June 7th.
That's my birthday.
And I will be taking a position over at St. Lawrence as their Director of Media Relations. So it's certainly a bittersweet moment. I've been here for 6 years now and in this position, and it's been an incredible opportunity to do all kinds of things. But much like Molly, it's a bit of a quality of life issue, too, so I'm looking forward to something a little, you know, a little different at this point. So, so on that note, Dr. Hoffman has chosen Lenore Vanderzee. Is that her? Okay. Vanderzee is his next chief of staff. She's an adjunct for us right now teaching political science. She has her law degree. She's getting her PhD. Her husband was hired last year, I believe, as a professor of English here on campus, so they're new to the area. But she, I think, is going to be great. I really do. I think she's got that political savviness that she'll be able to learn sort of the politics on and off campus very quickly, and I'm sure she and Dr. Hoffman will do a fantastic job together. I have asked Travis Smith, who is our director, our web director, to sort of fill in as the interim director of public relations. But I think Dr. Hoffman is also looking at sort of having a dotted line from PR to Lenore so that structure will stay. PR will remain under the president's office. So that has a little bit of yet to be determined about how the structure will work, and I think it'll take time for Lenore to kind of get comfortable with that in order for them to figure that out. And then finally, just in public relations, we are going to make an offer next week for a new coordinator for our print publications, who will be assisting with all of our print publications design, and we're looking forward to filling that spot. It's been vacant for 6 months, and the person that was in that before, Joanne, was, I guess, how long was Joanne here?
Long time.
But she was also working off campus for the past 2 years, so this will be nice to have somebody here permanent who can also maybe help out a little bit on the web, and we're excited to finally make that offer. So, thank you.
Good luck in your future endeavors, Ryan.
Thank you.
It's like leaving a Ford and going to a Cadillac? Or what?
I don't know about that. Maybe a Ford or a Chevy out there. No, thank you.
What was this, Lenore? What's your name?
Vanderzee. I couldn't.
Vanderzee.
V-A-N-D-E-R-Z-E.
She has a law degree?
Mm-hmm. From University.
What kind of law did she practice? Did she ever practice?
I'm not sure what her specialization is.
Where'd you graduate from law school, do you know?
Notre Dame,
really?
And that's where her PhD will be from as well. She's about 6 months to a year out from that.
The other thing, probably St. Lawrence, you can just ask somebody a question there and say yes, no, no paperwork or anything, right?
It'll be a change.
Liz?
We have our last faculty assembly on the 24th before recognition day in the morning. I also met with Dr. Hoffman this week, and he's very supportive of campus governance. He was also the campus governance leader for many years. So this summer we're going to be working together to fill a lot of the open spots on our governance committees and getting each of the committees to redo their bylaws and kind of strengthening the campus governance process over the next 2 years. So.
Great. Thank you. Brian?
I recently attended the 164th University Faculty Senate Plenary at Upstate Medical Center. Obviously, the budget was discussed. The RAND model is still, it's been basically put aside for right now. There hasn't been any movement on that. The downstate and upstate medical centers are still hemorrhaging money. So SUNY System has been tasked with coming up with a sustainability plan on how to keep them afloat. It was discussed that to close the hospitals and medical centers would cost the SUNY System approximately $500 million. So that obviously would be at the taxpayers' expense. Updates were provided by many SUNY System representatives, including the Chancellor. And the Chancellor talked a lot about Open SUNY, which of course is something that will affect us directly. They have established a advisory committee, and they're bringing in an independent consultant to help to with the implementation strategy. So that is to be determined. As far as the Chancellor's take on this, I've noticed, it seems like anyway to me, that she's allowing advisory committees, she's allowing independent consultants to make decisions instead of trying to just jump out and say, we will do this. Obviously, that hadn't worked very well in the past with the RAM model. And so I feel confident that at least we'll have a seat at the table, mm-hmm. and our voice will be heard as far as our concerns that we have about the implementation specifically. And the Chancellor did discuss the fact that any additional proceeds that are generated through the system will be devoted to the Open SUNY initiative. She wants to increase the student enrollments by 100,000 students rather over the next 3 to 5 years. So that's her goal. One particular point of interest for the Open SUNY initiative, she did denote that Joe Kennedy is working with the faculty from three campuses to create new IT degrees that will share a common core set of courses. The whole goal of the SUNY online Open SUNY enrollment system, I believe, is to allow students greater mobility so that they may take classes anywhere throughout the system, and those classes will be able to be accepted through their home degree. So there will be more competition for students, but I think we are well postured to get some enrollment increases due to the fact that we have such an online presence. Let's see. For the sake of brevity, I'll just sum up a couple things here. Provost LaValle will be transitioning back to his role as a faculty member at SUNY New Paltz, so he's mm-hmm. Stepping down as a SUNY provost.
Oh.
Wow. Isn't it?
Well, another quality of life issue, of, I believe.
Yeah,
that's
a celebration.
That's quality of life.
Okay, I didn't say that.
And
I seconded it.
And there have been some announcements for new faculty awards. There were some resolutions that were passed, particularly a resolution on the elimination of the major types of political science research from support by the National Science Foundation, a resolution for SUNY Shared Governance Award, and a resolution in support of SUNY's Academic Health Science Centers. And that concludes my update for the Faculty Center.
Brian, I'm a little bit confused with the Chancellor. Oh, I see. They're wanting to increase enrollment by 100,000, but limit us to the number of students that we can accept.
Yes.
What is that?
To your list.
It's confusing. Well, Ron, I take it as it's more money that comes back into the SUNY kitty, and how they divide that up, they want to be the sole determinant of how that money gets divided, but it will increase a lot of revenues for the SUNY system.
And for clarification, it's not increased by another 100,000. We have a high 80, 90,000 students in the SUNY system online. It's increased it to 100,000. So we're really looking at only 10,000 to 15,000 student increase.
I remember you saying that before. Thanks.
Yeah. That hasn't always been clear in presentations. Mm-hmm. In certain
she
circles.
She did clarify that, though, through a
good
specific question at that point. Because we asked that from the campus governance leaders, mm-hmm. and that was clarified.
Good.
Okay.
This is a comment I'm making, and I'll talk to you later, Brian, because it's sort of admittedly self-serving. But there is an award. I was on the SUNY Executive Council for a number of years. And there is an award which is pretty prestigious. It's a Distinguished Service a Professor's Award. And in all the history of the time that's been presented, there have only been 3 2-year college people that have received it. One is Nancy Ouster, one is myself, and one is Joe, I can't think of his last name, but he's at Alfred. And when I was there, we lobbied. Everybody else got a big medallion, you know, if you were a distinguished professor. But distinguished service professor got an automatic $2,500 raise, but we didn't even get a piece of paper, nothing. So we lobbied, and they said, okay, then the distinguished service professors should have a medallion also. Nancy had retired, and I retired that June. That July, they started handing out the medallions only to the people who had not retired. So you're the first face I know that's back in the Senate. I'm going to talk to you.
Okay.
Nancy told me the other day, we'd be willing to pay for it, but we'd like our medallion. Now you know what kind of person I am. Sorry. But damn it.
Would you be wearing it every day, Marie?
Yeah, well, no, but on occasions like today, I would. Makes you mad. You fought for it, and then the other guys got it.
Marie always said she wanted to be a council member. Now I know why.
A little more drag, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Nafisa?
Okay, so for the record, the only reason why I've been stepping out so much is because I forgot my hood at home. So I'm pretty much going to walk without a hood that I worked so hard for. But anyway, so a couple things. The students went on an end-of-the-year trip to Alex Bay, and normally the student activities office, we do a director's trip, but because there was so much confusion, switching around different directors and things like that. No, that didn't come out right. Okay, cool. So we just got a different director, and it was hard to, like, do a same trip because the director that came never did one before, so she didn't know what exactly we had to do. But so we just went to Alex Bay. We normally go, like, on an overnight trip, so we went to Alex Bay. We went on a dinner cruise, and that was pretty cool because every student except for myself was never on the trip before. And never went to Alex Bay, never experienced being on a boat, never experienced seeing the castles and things like that. So that was pretty cool because we got to give back to the students who are remarkable on campus but don't really get told that. So that was pretty good. We had an award ceremony for our senators and student leaders. So a lot of students got best member of the year. The club that got the President's Cup was the Veterans Association, just because they've done so much on campus. And it was kind of interesting when they got the President's Cup because everybody's like, well, what did they do? And it's like, oh, it goes to show that you're supporting your students. So that was kind of fun. And we student clubs and organizations have gone on trips, educational trips. The Veterans Association, the Vet Tech Club, they went to the Rochester Zoo, and they got to go behind the scenes. Normally they go to the Bronx Zoo, but this year they decided to go to the Rochester Zoo. And they get to do basically what veterinarians do there. So they get to deal with the different animals, learn what new things that they don't learn that they haven't learned in the classroom yet, things like that. Habitat for Humanity will be going to Kentucky, I want to say, for the summer to build houses. There's Habitat. There's one more. Oh, I can't remember.
Bridge team.
Yeah, the bridge team. So the bridge team came to request money from the student government organization, and they requested $14,000. They requested $4,000, but they're told that they need is $13,000, and they have raised about $4,000, I believe, too, through fundraising, foundation, different donations that they've received. So that's something that's good. The championship has occurred 14 times, and the only time that Canton hasn't won is when they didn't go. So that's kind of interesting. And I think they didn't go 1 year, and they've won all the rest. So that's something that's interesting. They'll be competing on a national level, and it's, I want to say Washington?
Yeah, University of Washington.
Yeah, pretty good. So it's in Washington, D.C., and
Washington State.
Too many things going on. Okay. Yeah, Washington State. So they'll be competing, and 99.9999% that they'll win. The difference of our school compared to other schools is that some schools come with a team of 20. We go with a team of 7, and we demolish every time. So So that's unique. And we also go against MIT. Is that a school? Yeah, MIT, RIT, Clarkson, which is interesting because Clarkson, they go there and they get there and Clarkson's like, oh, hey. And they try to talk and figure out their plans. And then when we get to the competition and they win, Clarkson's like, oh, that's not what you said you were going to do. So. That's pretty cool. And we have a newly elected student government board. The difference of this board and the board before is that so many of these individuals have worked from their freshman year to where they are now and have developed the different leadership skills, learning from those that have come before them. So I feel like this new board will be a great asset to the school because each individual has their own way of doing what their position holds. So that's interesting. Our entire board will be leaving, so it's unfortunate. Three of us will be graduating, and one of us will be staying home, and another one will be transferring to Stony Brook. So that's a sad loss. But the only thing that I hope continues on campus with this new executive board, and which I know will happen, is communication between students and staff faculty, because that's something that is the uniqueness of our campus, and I hope like that continues. Ornella Parker, she's a great individual. She's a 4.0 continuous student, repeatedly. I don't know how she does it, but yeah. So she's a great student. She's a great student leader. She's unique because Ornella was never involved, and something sparked her mind to get involved. And once she got involved, she never stopped. So she's also right now the president of the Caribbean United Club. She's the she's the president of student government now, but she was the vice president of the College Activities Board. So she has something that is, I don't know, it's like something in her. I don't know if it's a battery or what it is, but it's like a switch that turns on, and her determination just doesn't stop. So I know that she'll be a great advocate for the students. And last, so my graduation party. I'm sure you guys come on down, 46 Buck Street. And yeah, I left my hood at home.
We gotta go. Your visa, don't worry about it.
Seriously?
We gotta go.
All right.
It might not be the exact one, but we get you
on
it. This is a dovetail into what Rufisa was talking about. Dr. Hoffman started student life at Maritime.
Yeah.
And he is very, very interested in maintaining and being engaged with the student leadership and student life on campus. So I think that's awesome that we have somebody that really understands student life coming in. He was also a faculty athletic rep. So also supportive of athletics. So personally, I'm very excited to see that.
And, oh, that's what I meant to say. So funny thing about Dr. Hoffman. Kevin Ray, who is the president of, well, the outgoing president of the student assembly for the SUNY school. It's a long day. For the SUNY system, goes to Maritime. He is a master's degree program student. And Kevin and I met each other like a couple years ago. And when he became student president of SASU and Carly was coming into the position, he was like, what's happening at Canton? What's going on at Canton? I wish that was happening at my school. What's going on at Canton? And then right before the email went out about Dr. Hoffman coming and being appointed, he texted me and was like, hey, you know who you guys should get on your campus? And that's he said Dr. Hoffman. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Why would you want him? And then he gave, like, this long text message of why. Like, he's like, he's for the students. You guys need him. You should bring it up to your college council. And then we got the email the next day. And then when we got the email with, like, his 8-page resume, I was like, oh, this is right. That's cool. So I am kind of comfortable because I was a little skeptical. Because even though it sounds like cliche, like, students really care, they actually do. Like, students, it's nothing but traffic in and out of the student government office. It's nothing but, like, late-night text messages and Facebook messages, like, what's happening with the school? What's happening with the school? So I think I'm kind of at ease to be able to say this is what's happening. So that was an interesting fact that I thought I should tell you guys.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I was impressed with Dr. Hoffman. But anyway, Danny Fay was asking. He said, I can never keep track of Maritime and what's the other college right there, the other building?
Farmingdale.
No, right there, Throgs Neck, under the bridge. Maritime and Kings Point.
Oh, Kings Point.
And so Dr. Hoffman was saying it's kind of interesting. What happened was that one year they over-enrolled students at Maritime. So rather than send them home, they just started another place. And that's how Kings Point came about.
That's interesting.
Very.
those facts, just things like that, just intrigue me. I don't know. I mean, it means nothing, I guess. But
origin stories are important. UUP update, we don't have one from Dave. He's not present today.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions for anyone? Yes?
My mom texts me.
Your mom has a question?
Yeah. No, she told me to tell you guys something. She told me to tell you guys thank you for leading and creating an institution for her child to finally get an education. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what my mom said. Finally to get an education means that I wasn't getting one, but
very nice.
I have been for 4 years.
Any other business to come before our meeting today? I just want to say a couple words to those people that are departing today that will not be returning to SUNY Canton. I was going to say they will not be coming back, but that could mean something else. success to all of those individuals, Carly and Nafisa, Ryan, Dick, and the other college council members. Hopefully we'll see you in June, and for the others, seat at the table, hopefully we'll see you in the fall. And have a good summer and all that good stuff. And hopefully by fall, we'll begin the process of a search. My God. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, Marie. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Enjoy graduation.
Are you not going to be there?
Do you want to share this?
Yeah, I'll be there. I want to watch you and Molly and Carly cry.